Welcome in Sean Alshadi, who writes for MMAfighting.com, which is SB Nation's home for MMA fighting. Sean, really appreciate you joining us tonight. And I want to ask you, with McGregor and his outburst at the press conference for UFC 202, the throwing of the Monster Energy drinks, like, how much do you think of Conor doing that is like real bona fide intensity versus how much of it is him understanding how much money he can make as a showman?
Well, that's a good question, and I think it's a little bit of both, to be honest. It's an interesting situation because this week in UFC 202 is very, very vastly different than UFC 196 was, which was the first time he fought Nate back in March. When that fight took place, it all took place over a span of 11 days. It was a short-notice fight, short-notice replacement, and it was basically a whirlwind that caught fire and became one of the biggest selling cards in UFC history just through this sort of special magic that happens when Conor and Nate were put in a room together. This fight has been curious because it's been a long road to get to it, and I feel like there's a little bit of exhaustion just with the fans of hearing about this fight. But also, there hasn't been a lot of buzz about this fight leading into it. We have had several UFC events in a row over the past several weeks, and it almost feels, again, like a little bit of exhaustion. There wasn't nearly the amount that there was back in March. And so leading up to today was the press conference, was the first big media event that they've done this week for Fight Week for UFC 202. And the sense around it was that something needed to happen, that Conor and Nate really needed to turn it on and kind of dial the intensity back up to get people reinterested in this fight. And it was a very interesting press conference, to be honest. I don't know if I've ever seen one like it, because they started without Conor. Conor McGregor is notoriously late to press conferences. He just runs on his own time. And they ended up just starting without him. And it was very weird. There was a four-person press conference, and it was going on with three people, and the biggest star was gone. And, halfway, it was a very muted tone. It was Dana White, UFC president, was very visibly agitated and angry with the whole situation. And then, 15, 20 minutes into it, Conor comes in, and almost within minutes, Nate Diaz storms off, and he's flipping the bird to Conor. His whole entire crew storms off. They're all flipping the bird to Conor. And, it was actually Nate who threw the first water bottle across the Copperfield Theater that we were inside, which is a very small venue, so it was a very claustrophobic feeling. And Nate threw the first water bottle, and then all hell broke loose. And like you said, Conor started reaching for some Monster Energy drinks, which that's a little bit harder than a water bottle to throw. And so the whole thing was, to be honest, the whole thing was pretty entertaining to watch. And I feel like it achieved exactly what Nate and probably Conor wanted it to achieve once it started. Both of those guys are guys who understand what the fight game is about, and that this is about promotion. And the more you can promote this, the more money you're going to make. And I feel honestly like what they did today probably got them another couple hundred thousand pay-per-view buys ultimately.
I would have to think so, and I was trying to think about this, Sean, and not to take you away from the realm of MMA, but I don't really know, if I say to you right now, like, who is the best self-promoter in sports, I really don't know who to go with other than Conor. Like, if we consider Floyd Mayweather retired, like Jim Harbaugh maybe coaching Michigan, I mean, there are some people that really understand how to use the media to their benefit. For a college football coach, it's picking up recruits. That's how you utilize the media to make your program more prominent. But it seems like this guy is a master. But I do wonder, and I guess there's no question, because no answer to this question, because neither you nor me are in his head, how much of it is just this dude being, this is really who he is, right? So I'm fascinated. It's got my watch. I'll cop to being a casual MMA fan, and I'm going to make an appointment to be at a bar on Saturday night, and they'll get my business as well. We're joined right now by Sean Alshadi, who writes for MMAfighting.com, helping us break down UFC 202. I'm Lewis Woodard. This is Night Moves on SB Nation Radio. Now, as far as the actual fight is concerned, Sean, Nate Diaz obviously wins the first. It's a big weight class jump for Conor McGregor from where he normally fights. Heading into the second fight, how do you feel about the way you think this is going to go?
It's interesting on a couple different levels because, again, the first fight was on such short notice. There were a lot of different elements at play. Nate is a guy who's a triathlete, so he's always in shape. But he wasn't in fight shape, and there's a little bit of difference between being in shape and being in fight shape. he was coming from a vacation in Cabo where he was just drinking tequila, and all of a sudden he's fighting in the octagon. So this time around, he's had a lot of time to have a proper camp. He's also had a lot of time. I mean, Nate is historically a lightweight, and this is a welterweight fight, so he's had a lot of time to grow his big frame into more of a welterweight frame, and he's going to probably have to cut a tiny bit of weight to get down to that 170-pound limit. Whereas on the other side, you know, Conor, he's a guy who has always, throughout his rise, preached that he doesn't prepare for opponents. He just prepares to effectively do his game plan and win. And against the Diaz brothers, that's not really something that works because they have very particular strengths and weaknesses. And if you play into those strengths like Conor does with his, forward pressure and just the stand-up heavy attack, that you're not setting yourself up for a good night against him. And so Conor this time around has spent the past basically 5 months preparing specifically for Nate, which is a big departure from what he has done traditionally. He's gotten bigger sparring partners. He's the smaller man in this case. He's gotten, he's worked a lot on his jiu-jitsu and just, again, fighting the bigger man. So there are a lot of different factors that go into play. And also, I mean, in this case, I think back in March, it seemed like Conor almost took Nate lightly. He kind of took for granted that he was on such an incredible rise. All 2015 was owned by Conor McGregor, and it finished with him dethroning a legend in 13 seconds in Jose Aldo with a 13-second knockout at UFC 194. So he was riding this incredible, unprecedented wave of momentum into that first Nate Diaz fight, and it showed. He looked like he was too overconfident. This time around, it's completely switched, and Nate is, pretty much everyone out there is picking Nate to win. So it's interesting, but when you look at it, brass tacks, this is still the same two fighters that we saw a couple months ago. They still have the same strengths and weaknesses. Nate is still the bigger, longer guy. He's still a better grappler, and he's probably the better boxer, whereas Conor is quicker, and, he's going to have to use more angles and pace himself better if he wants to avoid what happened last time, where he effectively gassed himself out by the second round.
I was surprised. I mean, I'm a casual MMA fan, so I haven't seen a lot of the Diaz guys. I understand they're very good fighters. But Conor delivered some serious shots to his head, and it seemed like the guy, Nate Diaz, kept on coming at him like a horror movie villain, like Michael Myers in a Halloween movie, getting pumped full of lead, just keeps on walking at the protagonist. That seemed like that happened that last time they fought. So, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess he has to be more selective about the shots he takes, or he needs better punching power to actually knock down Nate Diaz. It was remarkable how many shots that guy took and just kept on coming at him. That was kind of my takeaway. But we only have about another minute here, Sean. Real quickly, what's the most interesting fight not McGregor-Diaz on this card to you?
The most interesting fight, if we're discounting the main event, is unquestionably the co-main event, and that is a light heavyweight contest between Anthony Rumble Johnson and Glover Teixeira. The winner of that fight is probably going to end up fighting Daniel Cormier for the UFC light heavyweight title. And these are two guys who exactly what they want to go in there and do. They're big. They're strong, they're powerful, and they're going to go in there and slug it out. And that is has all the makings for a classic slugfest. Both these guys are probably two of the hardest punchers in the light heavyweight division. And in Anthony Johnson, he's just generally probably one of the strongest punchers in the entire sport, including heavyweight. The power that guy has is scary. When he fought the current champion, Daniel Cormier, within the first exchange, he hit Daniel Cormier so hard that Daniel basically flew across the octagon several feet backwards. It was really crazy to see it, and it's scary to watch this guy fight. And so if you're asking what's the most interesting fight, it's absolutely that, just considering the stakes, and also that looks like it's just going to be an entertaining fight.
Very cool. Once again, guys, his name is Sean Alshadi. MMAfighting.com is where you can read his work. You can also find him on Twitter at Sean Alshadi. Really appreciate the insight on UFC 202. Thanks, man.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure.